Hello, everyone. I'm Robbie Dorman, and this is The Serial Fanaticist, the podcast of Friends of Everything. Welcome. Today, I am joined by Megan Danick to talk about some more Frasier. This batch of episodes is, sorry to say, the most disappointing yet. We talk about the complete stupidity of Frasier, the character, the awful treatment of women in these episodes, and Ted Danson's TV career. Despite the episodes being kind of a bummer, it was still a good time talking about them with Megan. As always, on to the discussion! Hello everyone, I'm here once again with Megan Danick to talk about Frasier. Megan, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
I'm alright.
Have you been denied entry to any prestigious clubs?
No. I don't go to a lot of I'm not a club person for the most part.
Yeah, me either. I was just curious.
Yeah, we'll get there. I have thoughts about that episode. This is the next Hi Guys Out There in Radio Land. This is our next Frasier episode. We're doing the third batch of episodes in season two, starting with Retirement is Murder.
Ugh.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. It's not really, it's vaguely a mystery, but not really.
The mystery doesn't seem like it should have been that hard to figure out.
No, it is Marty trying to solve an old case that he never, the Weeping Lotus murder case, and he is still trying to solve it. They've mentioned it before on previous episodes, which is a little bit of continuity that I do appreciate. And this is him still trying to solve it, and then it gets solved through the help of Frasier. Not really. It's accidentally Frasier solves it, or Frasier accidentally helps Marty solve it. It's not. I don't know if maybe it was just my mood when I was watching these episodes. I don't know. I don't think Frasier is this stupid.
I don't know if any of them are this stupid, though. I'm sorry. I have the great reveal of the who did it to me. I was like, I feel like that should have been something that was taken into consideration years ago, although I don't know. It's because, I mean, spoiler alert for this show that came out many decades ago, the guy that did it was a cop. So I don't know if it's like, it seems like that would have been a lot more of an interesting discussion because, you know, maybe there was a cover up or maybe it's the kind of thing that, you know, there was more at play in the police department. But it was basically just like, we never thought of that guy. And that seems a bit silly to me. So, yeah, I don't think Frasier's that dumb, but, like, I sort of feel like the Seattle Police Department shouldn't be that dumb either.
I don't try and underestimate the inability of police to, like, look past their own noses. So I'm not... I think this episode is not, I want to say it's great up until the point where Frasier literally says, I think a monkey did it, but I wouldn't say it's not bad. I think it's fine. I think it works well enough. And I think it works well enough in the kind of relationship episode between Frasier and Marty. And then Frasier says that not joking. This is not an attempt at him to try and cover up for him helping his father. It is him literally saying, I think a monkey killed this woman. Yeah. And I understand that Frasier is not a police detective like Marty was and doesn't have years of experience of trying to solve crime. But Frasier is a smart guy. And you don't have
Yes, PhD, as his proud dad points out.
Exactly. He went to college, and I understand that he, in 1995, there were many less police procedurals available to watch. But you still had like Columbo and Law and Order had started by then, hadn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Anyone who spends... How could he possibly think a monkey did it? A trained monkey killed this poor woman. A trained monkey? Frasier. I know it's...
A woman who is also a prostitute, and the cop that did it worked on Vice, so... Yeah.
Yeah, these series of episodes is not too necessarily great for women in general, I feel like.
No.
And like, I can get past the fact that this episode isn't, like, trying to tackle, like, you know, sex workers' rights or societal views of that. I understand Frasier is still, at the end of the day, a sitcom. It is not going to do anything deep. But when it makes its central character, the literally dude is the name of the show, and makes me need to, like, he can be short-sighted, he can have plenty of flaws, but when he's just colossally stupid for the benefit of basically a 5-minute joke, because after the bit where he admits he thinks a monkey did it, it is just monkey jokes. It is 5 minutes of monkey jokes. And I would want something a little better than monkey jokes.
Well, the shame of it is that leading up to that, it was kind of a good episode because, like you said, it was more about the relationship building. You know, you have Frasier getting the tickets to the Sonics game and the jokes that, you know, the fish out of water, look at these, him and Niles, because of course Niles has to go to that game, you know, mm-hmm. listening to his West Side Story score for some reason while he's watching the basketball game, which was just, I don't understand, but it was funny. But yeah, like, you know, like making an effort to try and basically get Marty out of the house and stop obsessing about this case from years ago. And that was fun.
Yeah, I like that. I do have one. I kind of like the idea that this murder doesn't get solved. I feel like I'd rather it never get solved, because I think that's more like the murder doesn't matter because they're just plot devices. It's more I think it's more interesting for Marty to not solve the murder. I think that's a more interesting character for me, is for this thing to be hanging over him and him to get over it in the fact that, okay, I never solved it and have to live with it. I think that's more interesting to me than solving it, and then, Frasier thinks it's a monkey. He's an idiot. But also, I do, the Sonics, that immediately dates this episode, because Sonics don't exist anymore. And I do, like, West Side Story? While you're watching basketball games, while you're there, or any sporting event while you're there, is interesting enough. Things are happening. There's stuff going on all the time.
Oh yeah.
This is a question. Did Marty, when they were children, when Marty was a cop and he was raising Niles and Frasier, did he have just pictures of corpses around the house?
I don't know. I kind of feel like probably not. Like, I think he is retired, so he likely would have left that at work, would be my suspicion.
Okay.
And then now that he's retired, you know, the cold case box, which still probably shouldn't be at the house, but there it was. Again, a testament to the fine, Seattle Police Department.
Yeah.
But, If I'm
Frasier, I know they've covered this in previous episodes, and I'm sure they will cover it again, but I'm putting my foot down. No pictures of murder victims on my tables. No kitchen table. You don't have court pictures of dead people. Murder victims on. No, I don't want to see bullet entry. I don't want any. I don't want true crime on my kitchen table. I
don't want my kitchen table to be rotten.com.
Exactly. I would put my foot down. I'm like, Dad, here, I will buy you a desk. And you can have everything, all your murders on that desk. but do not bring them out into the living area. I don't want a random guest walking in should not be able to see murder as they walk through the living room.
Yeah. You know, that true crime sure is popular.
Don't get me started.
Oh, no, I won't, because I will walk that path right with you, because I am one of the few people I know who's not like, my favorite murder, which, I mean, you know, no offense to those, to them or anything else, but
I don't care. At me. Come on. I don't care. I don't care. Look, I know there's thousands of true crime podcasts and they're all very popular. I don't care. I don't want to listen to them. I find them terrible. They're focusing on the worst of humanity and people love them because they're inherently mysterious. But there's plenty of mystery that does not involve death.
I agree. Like, give me a good cult story. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with like Ponzi schemes, you know, and those are no less terrible, but you know, like I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, I've been watching the Ted Bundy thing. And I'm like, nope, stop right there. I do not need, I fully like, and I think because too, I'm a big fraidy cat, so I'll internalize all that stuff. Like, I remember when I made the decision to go to University of Florida, it doesn't matter that the whole serial killer thing happened, you know, a good decade before that. It was still, you know, ticking away in the back of your mind to know that, you know, like, hey, my friend lives in the same apartment complex where he killed these people. That stuff doesn't make me, I'm not interested in it because, frankly, I don't have the stomach for it, and I don't see why we have to, like, I don't know.
It's cheap is the answer. It's easy. Those cold cases are just sitting out there, and you don't need to do much to them to make them stories.
Well, in some cases, they're not even cold, though. We're going way off the rails. I apologize.
Hey, it's our podcast. We can talk about anything we want.
Well, like, I mean, I believe, for example, in the example of Ted Bundy, like, one of his victims survived, right? Like, wasn't that a thing? One of the, like, there was a woman who he attacked and she got out of there. Like, that, you know, the fact that there's still people, and there are still people, you know, living who are impacted by everything that happened. And I don't know to what extent they talked to any family members or anything like that. I mean, maybe they were game to talk about it. I don't know. But it feels like it's pushing something to the forefront of people's interest.
I was 14 once, and I thought serial killers were really interesting. And now I go, oh, they're just like probably mentally ill people that went out, like, basically just never got help. And probably were raised terribly, and or I don't know, went off, just followed this path to its completion until they literally ruined people's lives. And I don't find any of it fun, and I don't after Zodiac. I think Zodiac's a great movie. I love Seven. I think that's also a great movie. David Fincher has the serial killer genre, art genre, like, pretty well covered. I don't think we need to keep doing it. I want those people should be villains. They should not be. I don't want to sympathize with Ted Bundy. I don't care how handsome he looks. Anything else you want to say about retirement is murder?
I did think it was funny that at the end they staged it to look like Eddie killed Daphne.
That was funny. I did like that the stinger on that one. Next up is Fool Me Once, Shame on You. Fool Me Twice. ... ellipses. Frasier's an idiot again. Frasier is a moron.
Yeah, he sure is. He's so naive.
You
know what it is? He's not naive. Because, you know, the whole setup of this episode is that someone steals his briefcase. And then the person who steals his briefcase calls him and acts like, you know, oh, I found it, you know, I'll meet up with you and, you know, give it to you. Well, the briefcase has his spare car keys, so he sets up the time and then steals the car. So then, by fortune and happenstance, Frasier, and this thief is now impersonating Frasier, and, you know, had a one night stand with a woman and had arranged to meet her the next day. So that's basically how Frasier comes face to face with Nathan Lane, who is, you know, a pretty good choice to be a flim flam man in the mid 90s. And, you know, the thing about this, because that's how he would be billed. He was a flim flam man.
That's fair. I was just like, I don't know if Frasier would. I think Frasier would use the word flim flam man. So that's, yes. I guess that's accurate.
Well, and Nathan Lane would play a flim flam man, let's be real. Yeah. So the thing is, I think, you know, of course, they're having their confrontation moment, right? And I think the root of it is that Frasier has such a big ego that he truly thinks that using his psychiatry superpowers, you know, he'll be able to talk to this guy and somehow course correct this, you know, schmuck who has outsmarted him now, you know, twice, and then proceeds to do it a third time by bringing the cops in and making it seem like Frasier is the fake Frasier and should be arrested. But I don't know if it's stupidity so much, again, as his just ego, like once he starts talking to the guy and the guy starts talking about, you know, oh no, I should turn myself in, you know, what, you know, I think he thinks there's something there that, like, you know, he'll end up like on the front page of the newspaper if he can somehow talk this guy around.
I think the last scene of the episode is good because it's Kelsey Grammer and Nathan Lane bouncing off each other, and they're both, you know, very talented, and Nathan Lane's like very good comedic actor, and Nathan Lane is semi-famous at this point. This is post Tony Awards. This is post Lion King. So he's a known person in 1995.
Oh yeah. Was The Birdcage out? It was probably out. Like, I don't remember when that came out.
I don't like The Birdcage, but I will tell you that it came out in 1996.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was a very popular movie.
It was very popular. You are correct. I still don't. I don't like it. But Nathan Lane and Kelsey Grammer having fun together, playing and, you know, doing this dumb like bit where you're. Everyone knows that Phil is gonna con Frasier again. Like, it's, I think I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm like, when is something? And then the police show up and arrest Frasier. It's getting to that point is where they make him so dumb to make the plot work.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he gets his briefcase stolen. Okay, and that can happen to anyone. That's not, like, he just left his briefcase somewhere and it got stolen. That's fine. Sure. But the bit where he gets a call, yeah, I have your briefcase, meet me here. I'm going to drive my car to the place where the man who stole my briefcase has the keys. Like, hey, maybe come with other, like, stay with your car. Maybe, like, is he never met a person before? Like, Frasier is not that stupid. Like, I guess they didn't have Craigslist deals to navigate back then. But even, yeah, like, meet at a third-party location, bring backup, don't leave your stuff behind. It's not, like, complicated. Even in 19... Frasier is not, is he that stupid? That naive? His dad's a cop. His dad, wouldn't Marty, I would think Marty would be drumming this into Frasier since he was like 3 years old about not falling for whatever scam. Marty, I would think, would say everything is a scam. I think Frasier would be paranoid about it, wouldn't he? I don't know.
I feel like, too, that Marty, you know, from what we've gleaned, Frasier and Niles have been Frasier and Niles, like, for the long haul, you know, from the time they were children, you know, they've been who they are. And, you know, I would suspect that as a cop father, perhaps he would recognize, okay, maybe I need to teach these guys a little more in the way of being on the defensive versus taking an offensive approach. And yeah, I mean, I have a hard time thinking that he wouldn't have prepared them to be a little bit more, or at least tried to make them a little bit more streetwise, I guess. Although, you know, maybe it just didn't take. That's possible too. But
yeah, and
yeah,
I know,
it's dumb.
I mean, it's the final scene is great. I just, the way they get there is just, it just takes up a lot of time. And I wish there was more Nathan Lane in the episode, frankly. Like, he's great. Yeah. I would use him more, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, have him reoccur multiple, have him actually show up, just not make vague phone calls. And have Fraser turn into an idiot whenever he talks to a woman. I think I'm reaching a breaking point with Fraser and women. These episodes might have pushed me to a different side of an argument or something. I do like Niles and Roz together. It's fun.
Yes. It is fun.
Poking at each other is good. They feel like they're mean to each other at first, and then they kind of settle into like a friendly relationship of needling each other.
Yeah, I like that because I don't think that it would that rings true, you know, like that would be their relationship. But I'm glad that it's more kind of like at least friendly and from a place of I respect your ability to zing me, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They're cool with roasting each other, basically.
Yeah,
which is fine. I don't know. Nathan Lane is very good as a comedic actor. I don't think that's not news. I wish he was more of the episode. I do like him. The suit doesn't fit him correctly. I appreciate that. I like the idea of I'm a lazy criminal. I don't want to rob a bank. That's too much work. All good. But the episode, I think this episode is, again, fine. Not bad. I don't think any of these episodes are, I don't know, some of the things that happen in some of the episodes, I think, are the capital B bad as we go. But this one, I think, is fine.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Megan?
No, we can keep it moving.
Next up, the hits just keep on coming. You Scratch My Book, starring Shannon Tweed.
So, yeah, that didn't, I didn't know who that was, I will admit it. I am a boring straight woman. I did not try to, you know, read Playboy magazines or watch
Megan
Cinemax erotica.
I was once a teenage boy. Well aware who Shannon Tweed is and was. Former playmate, was in a relationship with Hugh Hefner for an amount of time. And then in a long, long, still together with Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Really?
They've been in a relationship since like the mid 80s and just got married this, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, she's still primarily, she was in Playboy, and she was in a lot of B-level movies. She was also in the reality show with Gene Simmons. I forget what the hell it was called. She plays a pop psychologist, you would say, I guess. Inspirational person.
Yeah. Feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Have a Rainbow is the name of her book that it starts the episode, basically, because Daphne likes it. And then Niles and Fraser make fun of it. And then Fraser meets her at a book signing and they start dating. And then she asks Fraser to write the foreword for a book that he thinks is terrible. And so the gist of this episode is Fraser trying to navigate the fact that he likes her. And one, she's very attractive, so I don't know how much of it is this woman is very attractive and whatever, and then navigate that and thinking that her books are bad.
Well, you know, fair enough. I mean, she's obviously very attractive, but I think too they were all a little surprised. It's like, oh, you know, like when introduced to Niles, you know, she'd read some of his studies that he'd published. And I mean, she's not a dum-dum. She's smart. Like, I could see there being more than just a, you know, Playboy model attraction. And I think at one point when he was talking about writing the foreword that he was struggling with, because he thought the book was crap, that it had been like 2 weeks or something since he'd said he would do it. So, you know, I'm assuming they've been seeing each other a little bit more, although yeah. clearly not, you know, intimate as the ending.
Yeah.
As the ending goes.
Yeah, I... So I am just... I don't know what this show is telling me about Frasier and women. Because it feels sometimes he's had sex with half the women on Earth, it seems. Like, just randomly, occasionally. Yeah, we had... Like, we'll get to the Sam Malone Cheers episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just randomly ends up had sex with the woman, one of the women in that episode. And randomly, like, they just randomly met. That was just coincidence. And yet in this one, he is presented with a woman and he just gets stupid. Like, his brain turns off. And I don't know. He's a 40-year-old man, roughly. 40 plus, I'm assuming, which I think that, I don't know, we still don't get a hard age on Frasier. I don't think they want us to have a hard age on Frasier. But at this point, he's not a 40-year-old virgin. He's met women before. We've seen him date women. We've seen him almost, like, commit to women before already in the show. I don't care how beautiful a woman is. Frasier's capable of, like, stringing together sentences, and, like, he meets her at the book signing. He's just like, and he just, like, they do that dumb cartoon character thing, and then it's not hard to write a foreword is easy to. I don't know why. Here's the thing. I agree that I think this woman is smart and knows what she's doing, this character. Like, even if these books are, like, just a way to make money, like, yeah, I know that this is what sells, so this is what I write. And it's inoffensive, and it doesn't hurt people, so what's the problem? And that's fine. If their relationship is real, if Frasier does has a greater appreciation for her other than, oh, she's a pretty girl, and appreciates, oh, she's actually really intelligent, and we get along really well, blah, 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 blah. Then suck it up, Frasier. Just write garbage. It doesn't matter. It's a foreword. No one reads them anyway. Just, you write 500 words about, yeah, this is book that did this and it did that. Who cares? You're a radio psychiatrist. It doesn't matter. Just write your garbage. And I can't, him going, this is the hill he's going to die on.
I don't know. Like, I mean, in this case, it does have to do with his attraction to and relationship with a woman. But I think this is just a reoccurring thing with him, is that he takes the side, the quote unquote noble side, but it's always in support of his own, like, snobby nature or his own, like, self-importance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, he is honest, which I will give him credit for, you know, like, clearly he's said along the way that he is an admirer of her work, which is not true, you know, and he comes clean at the 11th hour when they're about to, like, you know, have sex. And he's like, look, I can't write this. I didn't like the book. It was trash. I get it if you don't want to, you know, do this anymore. And she is, like, overwhelmed by his honesty, which, you know, for a minute it's like, oh, well, this actually works out well because you were honest and she's still attracted to you. So okie dokie. But then, like, as they continue to be honest, he sort of goes overboard and just, like, trashes her previous two books, because in taking the high road and saying he didn't like the book, he also, I mean, he didn't exactly say, oh, and by the way, your entire philosophy and everything that you write about is a joke. But that sort of comes to the top, and then things, you know, she's like, puts on the brakes.
Yeah, tells him to get out, which, yeah. You're right. Yeah. You should do that. Yeah, tell him. It's just,
Absolutely.
I don't understand how free. I don't know if it's just run of episodes or, again, I feel like sometimes I'm like in a certain mood and I just recognize these things more clearly, but I don't mind I understand the show has to function like this, that Frasier has to make terrible mistakes and ruin his life over and over and over again forever. It's just the way that it's presented where he's, if anything, Frasier, wouldn't he be more equipped with like kind of social mores to understand not to just rip her career up. Like, it's okay to not say those things. It feels like this is they pick an arbitrary reason for him to destroy this relationship versus like him telling the truth. And okay, we can respect the fact that he goes, I'm sorry, I don't think this book is good, and I can't write the foreword in good faith, and I want to say this before we have sex, because I don't want that to complicate things. And like, that is admirable.
But then to just trash her.
Yeah, and it makes it just be like, I don't want to root for Frasier anymore, because he's just too stupid.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the monkeys. I'm the monkey murderers, and the... and the you're like insulting this beautiful woman that you like. Like, if you really like her and you think you have chemistry besides the fact that she's very beautiful, why on earth would you insult her to her face? You're an idiot. Why are you so stupid?
Shannon tweeted in the monkey murders. We now have the episode title.
I
don't know. It's again, it's like he has to just put out there how much smarter he is and how much, like, you know, better he is, because that's, and I mean, she was like, you know, they were kind of trading sort of harmless barbs back and forth in that moment. Like, mm-hmm. She was like, the fact that she said when he talks about wine, she wanted to pull out a gun was a little bit much as well. I don't know. It seemed like it was heading for disaster, but yeah, it's like, just, it took it too far, and he really can be really stupid.
Yeah. And I can deal with certain levels of stupidity, and also I think kind of webs of misunderstandings and things like that, which are like basically what all sitcoms on Earth are based on, is just like, oh, Frasier doesn't know this and Niles does, or Niles knows a thing and certain characters know information, others don't. And because they don't know this, it has weird misinformations and dumb arguments and stuff like that, which is totally fine. It's when people are just mean. I don't want this. I don't want Frasier just to fail because he's too mean. That's not fun.
Right. Right.
I want to like Frasier. I want to root for him, even though he is an idiot a lot of the time. I still want him to root. I want to root for him. I want things to go well for him. And I don't want to root for a guy that's just a mean person, right, for whatever reason. Yeah. Like, Frasier's older than me, and I'm not the smartest person on earth. I'm well aware that, you know what? I go to comic book conventions. I have very strong opinions about certain comic books, more probably stronger than any person should. However, and I see the people who made these comic books all the time. You walk past them, they're sitting at their table, they might be talking to someone, they might not be. They're just trying to make a living. They're selling their art. And I might think their art is bad and terrible and sends terrible messages. I walk past them. You don't need to tell people how you feel about everything you think. It's okay. It's okay for you.
That's what the internet is for.
I know. Exactly. it's more, like, you don't have to tell them to their face. You don't tag people on Twitter when you think their work is bad. And you don't, if you're dating this woman, you don't have to tell her that you think her work's bad. You can just say, you know how this episode ends? You just have Frasier say, I'm sorry, I don't have enough respect for your work for us to continue this relationship. But that's not, I guess, that's not quote unquote funny. So they don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... I don't know if it's just that these episodes kind of all compound on one another. Like I'm just building up this frustration of like, Frasier, what are you doing? Frasier, what are you doing? Frasier, what are you doing? And it's just over and over and over and over again. And it's just... Ugh. I like the little the Niles stock situation. The stockbroker thing where he's just basically lying about how his stock is the stocks and just giving Daphne a small amount of money back and forth.
So that she'll give him hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses. I like it as character. I feel like it is Niles. Like, I don't know. Niles is a creep sometimes, so I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, certain episodes, Niles isn't a creep. It feels like it depends on who wrote the episode, I think.
Yeah.
Where Niles is sometimes, like, just doing things because he likes Daphne and wants attention from her and wants to be near her. And then other times it's just like, oh, he's smelling your hair and, you know, being a creep. And you're not, I'm like, I don't know which Niles is showing up. I got to wait and see. And I know, I felt like Niles wasn't doing this just because she was hugging and kissing him. I feel like I thought it was just like he wanted attention from her. He wanted to be the person that, to give her good news, basically.
Yeah. I you know, he didn't, like he said after the first investment, which did go well, the other ones did not, or the other next one did not. And so, yeah, his heart was in the right place-ish.
Ish. Yeah, it's not, compared to the others, the stuff that happens in the other episodes to the women involved, this one is actually pretty mild. And Frasier does call him on it, and which is very funny. I do like that. Frasier's like, I'll just give you $10,000. I'll get double my money back, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of... I think the other thing in this, there's not a lot of... In all these episodes, there's not a lot of work stuff going on. There's not a lot of him at the radio station.
No. No, there's not.
And I think I like that a lot. I like the radio station as flavor to the rest of the episode.
Like the first episode, the retirement episode, that, you know, had a little bit of workplace, you know, magic thrown in there.
Had but Gary Sinise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mention Mary. Mary Steenburgen is also one of the callers in one of these episodes. I think that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I did not recognize. I didn't recognize Gary Sinise either because he was like purposely speaking in a monotone voice. Where's Gary Sinise? If he's in the Sam one, the next one anyway. Anything else you want to say about You Scratch My Book, Megan?
No.
It's not a good episode title either.
It's not. This run of six was not, definitely not the best.
No.
But we soldier on.
Yeah, the show where Sam shows up. Well, that's a very appropriate, I guess, title. Sam Malone, Ted Danson, shows up. Saying hi to Frasier. This is a, hey, remember Cheers?
Yeah.
Sam's here.
It sure is.
Hey, do you like Ted Danson? He's here. Isn't Ted Danson charming?
Was this around the time when he was, like, with Whoopi Goldberg?
Don't know.
I'm just curious, like, did he need some goodwill? Wasn't there an awful incident, which now is back in vogue, apparently, that he was in blackface and at some event?
That
Do
was
you
in,
remember
that
this?
Was in 1993, yes. It was, yeah.
Maybe he needed a little bit of goodwill.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a crossover episode. I never watched Cheers. I've never seen a single episode of Cheers. I know, I understand what Sam Malone is. He's like, it's not a complicated character. He is like a sexual compulsive, as Frasier says.
I think that's why I've never, like, I know some people love Cheers. To me, it's real dated. Like, I've tried watching some episodes and I just did not enjoy it. And I think the central reason is because it banks on the fact that you're supposed to find Sam Malone much more attractive and charming than I guess I do. And this episode just kind of compounded that. It's like we're talking about Ted Danson, you know, who I like very much in The Good Place, you know.
I mean,
but
Ted Danson, if you look at his entire television career, it's very impressive because he's been in hit shows in 4 different decades now, I think, which is that's pretty impressive.
I missed whatever hit show is before The Good Place.
Booker. I mean, like, well, Cheers went into the 90s and then he was in Curb Your Enthusiasm. He was in Becker for that went through late 90s to early 2000s. It went through 6 seasons. It was popular enough.
Is that a CBS show?
Yes.
There's like all these shows on CBS that, you know, millions and millions of people watch that I've never heard of before. So
he played a recurring character in CSI. He's been on close to 1,000 episodes of television probably in his career or something, or 500 episodes of television complete total. Cause he was in like 275 episodes of Cheers, over 100 episodes of Becker, like 100 episodes of CSI. Plus now The Good Place. So he was in Fargo. He's won like a gajillion Emmys apparently. So that's impressive. And I don't mind I think in this, like in a Frasier episode, I think Sam Malone functions fine.
Yeah.
Like when he's not the star, like it, you know, Cheers, it is an ensemble cast, but it is, I think, featuring Ted Danson, Sam Malone most prominently, obviously.
Right.
And I think as a supporting character, I think he works really well. If this episode wasn't what it was, I think it could be I say that it's really strange. Like if this was a totally different episode, I think Sam would be a really cool character because it's a different, it's kind of sad. He's like kind of a sad character in this episode.
Really is.
And I think if it was not so kind of gross in every other regard, it'd be interesting portrayal of this character.
Yeah.
But it's gross. It's a gross episode. It's this and the one coming up to the Daphne's room, which is the next episode.
No.
If these two episodes together just killed me, and I just was like, I'm done. I can't. And then I had to watch one more, and I'm just like, because Sam is visiting Seattle because he's trying to. He says because he's audition. He's has an interview for being a Seattle Mariners pitching coach. Sure. But then it's really, we find out he's trying to get away from this woman because he promised to marry her and then they didn't get married. Blah, 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 blah. Tia Leone, who I like Tia Leone in general.
Yeah.
Sheila. And we find out that Sheila had an affair with Frasier, unbeknownst to him, which is, again, the writing in that might be a little too, you're pushing it when you say he just happened to be visiting Boston. Boston's a gigantic city with him just randomly meeting her and them having sex seems
unfrasierly
and almost impossible just by logistically. Like, what's the chances that he just happens to meet the one woman that Sam is engaged to? Like, how did that happen? I'm like, that's pushing it where you're like, that's stretching. Like, if they knew each other or friends of friends introduced them or something, okay. But it's just random.
Well, also, it just doesn't hang right. Like, they said, oh, it was 3 months ago. It's like, we're now, like, more than halfway into this season of Frasier. And, you know, it's one of those classic, like, well, you know characters do things off screen. You know, nobody, unless it's a plot point, nobody shows someone going to the bathroom in a sitcom, right? But, like, flying to Boston and having, like, a fling with a woman seems, A, very out of character for Frasier, but also very convenient for this story.
Yes.
It's very lazy sounding to me.
Yes, it is. It is very lazy. And that's not, like, I despise lazy writing. I don't care what kind of show you're making. Like, I understand sitcoms, you have to make 24 episodes in a season. So sometimes you have to just, like, oh, we don't have time to fix this. So, yeah, we say it, so it happened. We don't show you, we just tell you. But the episode hinges on the fact that, okay, Sheila had an affair with Frasier, and Frasier's innocent in this. The only thing that, you know, technically, I guess.
Yeah.
Frasier is relatively innocent. The only thing he doesn't want Sam to know that he had sex with his fiance, even though he was unaware.
Right.
Which is, I guess, understandable to a certain extent. However, we then find out that Sam also had an affair. And then we then find out that Sheila also had other affairs. And then, oh, okay. Then the thing that ends the episode, basically, and makes Sam call off the wedding, is that Sheila had sex with Cliff from Cheers. And that everyone, poor John Krasinski, everyone, all three people, Sheila doesn't care, but both Sam and Frasier are gobsmacked, befuddled, angered, even, that someone, how dare she have sex with Cliff? And it's just like a whirlwind of so many problems. I'm just like, so many issues. I'm like, one, who cares? You guys are all having sex with everyone all the time.
They met in group.
I know. That's
sex addicts.
Like, yeah, that you would think that you could understand that it might come up. It might be a problem you would have to confront again. And it's, what did John Krasinski do? Why did they? Why?
I think it's just he's always been like the set. Because there is a joke about Cliff at the beginning of the show, too. Like, oh, yeah, he read about germs and hasn't left his mother's apartment, which famously he lives, you know, with his mother. And then, like, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, people started coming back to the bar now that he's not there. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there was some kind of grand falling out. But
so but aside from that, which, you know, John Ratzenberger, sorry, I got the name wrong. John Ratzenberger, that's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, yes. Yeah, John Krasinski, that would be a whole other...
Yeah, that's a different guy. John Krasinski, I would think, is most people like him. John Ratzenberger.
I was going to say, that might cause problems of a different variety.
Yeah, Sam might be jealous.
Like, The treatment of this woman who has done essentially the same thing that Sam has done is kind of ludicrous.
Serial womanizers, they even earlier in the episode, Sam is like charming Daphne.
Yeah, and Roz,
and he turns on the charm, and everyone loves him, and Niles is like, I don't like him flirting, blah, blah, blah. And Frasier's like, it's what he does. He flirts with everyone. He's a serial blah, 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 blah. And they explain it. It's okay. Sam, we like Sam, don't we? And I'm like, sure. He's charming. And I think he works well in the dynamics of this episode with the rest of the cast. But no,
let's slut shame his fiance and then send him off to have meaningless empty sex with stewardesses before he.
Yeah, that's the other.
Back to Boston.
If it ended on a solitary sad note, I could maybe live with some of it. But when it's like, no, we're just gonna go to have one night stands with flight attendants, I'm like, oh my god. And then the stinger is just Frasier alone in a car, yelling the word Cliff over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I know it's 1995, but you've done, I don't know, the show does have sometimes mixed results, with especially the piano teacher thing. That was pretty ridiculous. And this is another time where it's just like, women are not, they're also, allowed to have sex. And if you're gonna vilify her for it, Sam should get the same treatment. But he doesn't. He's charming and Ted Danson. So, Tia Leone, yep, we're gonna throw you back to... You can go have a successful career in your movies and television as well. It's just... I thought you were better. Frasier, I thought you were better.
He's not.
No, not the character. The show.
It's not.
Okay. Yes.
We have our ups and downs, ups and downs. Speaking of downs...
Oh, no!
Okay, I don't know...
Daphne's Room is the name of the next episode. It's terrible.
I get that they are trying to do the slapstick thing, but the disturbing things that come to light, like, essentially, it's a comedy of errors, you know. Frasier goes into her room to, like, get a book, but of course... Because he's never in her room, he gets all sneaky and starts pawing through her stuff, which, you know, is it creepy? Yes. However, you know, cabinet peeking.
I can understand, you know, that. I can totally understand that the first time he goes in and he's curious.
Totally.
That I can deal with. I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand someone doing it, going, especially she's lived there and how has he never... they don't go in her room? Ever?
Right. Like, I was wondering that, too. Like, does it have a lock? Is it basically, like, her apartment? Like, apartment within the apartment? Or...
They are... At this point, she is more than just an employee.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, can we address, like, is it common for people's... It is not common. I'm not going to ask the question. It is not common for someone's physical therapist... Even an elderly person's physical therapist to live in the same apartment. Martin does need, you know, physical therapy, but he does not need a caretaker. Like, he is, right, you know, perfectly sentient and capable of taking care of himself. So why does she live there? Like, that's always been the question. Like, why? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And yes, she is more than that because she cleans. So, I mean, if that's the deal they worked out, that she's like also a live-in housekeeper, okay. But I just can't wrap my brain around the fact that someone like Daphne, who clearly has some very deep-seated privacy issues, would even agree to live in a room in their apartment in the first place.
I just don't... If the show had ever one time had Daphne be protective of her personal space, I would maybe be a little lenient towards certain aspects of the episode. But there's no mention of it ever before. Like, they've never even barely mentioned her room before, other than she goes back there and fantasizes about Ted Danson. but we've never seen her room before, and I don't know. Considering that she is no longer, I think it's fair to say she's no longer just an employee. She's friends. They're basically family. It's an extended family at this point. And
although, you know, this is kind of telegraphing to the next episode, but I, you know, never really noticed that she only calls Frasier Dr. Crane, which is, you know, anyway, go on. Sorry, pointing that out.
I think it's hard for us to how to dissect this, because I've never talked to a boss the way that she talks to Frasier or to Niles or to Marty, and clearly, yeah, I would say she does things that are definitely what I would consider a friend does, not an employee does. Like, yeah, my job as an employee is to help your father and to take care of him and to cook and clean, I guess, as a live-in maid or whatever. And
right,
even if she does occupy a space between friend and employee, I've had roommates. I've lived in situations where I've gone in their rooms just it might not even be like, hey, let's hang out and watch a movie together or something, but it is, hey, I've sat in the room with them and talked to them for a bit amount of time. Like, it's not like it's right. It's not like it's a sarcophagus or like some artifact that Fraser's unearthing. He should. I can't imagine. It's another situation where I just can't imagine him never even looking into her room before. He lives there.
And maybe, yeah, maybe. And the way that they present it kind of that way, because, yeah, it is weird. She like opens the door and he's going through her stuff. Like, that's weird. That bears some explaining. But then they just kind of like swing in the complete opposite direction and start making the case that, oh, like this, like you said, it's like this tomb of solitude or something. And it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make
sense.
And
then it gets worse.
And then it gets worse. Like, that's just befuddling and confound. Like, it's just befuddling. It's confusing, like, choices about the writing. And then it gets to the point where Fraser, they just, I don't find, because he then goes back in the room and he gets, quote unquote, trapped in there because he's trying to return pills that he took from her, quote unquote, accidentally. I don't
which
know if you
really. Niles calls him out on.
Yes.
Niles does call him out on that. He's like, I don't walk into a drugstore and aspirin jumps into my pocket. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. And so, A, it's very the classic, like, oh, I made a mistake, so I'm going to try and make sure no one sees it, and then makes the mistake worse and worse and worse and worse. But, so he ends up being in the room where she's changing, and then showering, and then she catches him, and then she's upset, because she should be. And while this is all going on, there is the subplot makes it all worse. Because Niles doesn't know how to celebrate Maris's 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And there's like kind of background conversation throughout the episode sprinkled in about how, and also about Niles wanting physical attention from Maris. It's all kind of mixed in together. And then he buys her a BMW, and that's what... Then she has sex with him. Twice. In one night, apparently. But Niles is very excited, happy about that. And I think that's fine for Niles and Maris, because Maris doesn't exist, really. She exists, but we don't see her. We don't know her. She's just a...
Well, and we're progressively getting information that she's basically the worst.
Yeah,
like,
so whatever. And like, yeah, we could try and dissect... Like, we know their relationship isn't necessarily healthy.
Right.
So it's not new information when, they have sex just because he bought her a BMW and blah, 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 blah. Or Mercedes.
Yeah, if that's not... troubling, then, you know.
We already understand that they aren't happy together in some way, and that's just like, okay, it's another piece of evidence for us. But when you match it with the main plot of both first Fraser, and then, okay, even once you get past the point of him being in her room while she's changing and showering, you then get to the point where then they end up in her room. Niles ends up in her room with him, and they're just destroying it. They're just throwing stuff around. Like, what are you, Daphne? If I was Daphne, if I walk into that scene, I take my things and I leave and I never look back. I am gone forever. There's nothing you could say to me that would convince me that I should stay in this situation, because clearly these people have tricked me into thinking that they're semi-sane, because this is a bridge too far. If anyone did this to me, I don't care. If I'm in any living situation, if I'm in the situation of the roommates, and for the third time I find not one, but then two of them in my room, basically just ripping my room apart, throwing my clothes around, I am getting the hell out of there as fast as possible. I don't care. They could buy me 5 cars. I'm not staying there. I'm living somewhere else. It's problematic because she's a woman, and it becomes important when Fraser is intruding on, like, in seeing her change and seeing her naked in the shower, even though he doesn't really see it. He's there. They try and dance around it. They try and make it like, oh, Fraser's there, and they don't want to, and he's just, and it's more of like, oh, I'm awkward, and all I wanted to do was leave the pills and leave. I didn't want to be here, and it's slapsticky, and it tries to be silly, but it fails. Yeah. It fails miserably.
Yeah. Well, and then the sort of disturbing anecdote of why she's like this, quote unquote, in the first place, because she lived with all these brothers who would try to spy on her in the shower. Like, I was like, that's disturbing.
Yeah. And
then let's throw a gay joke in there because, you know, the ballroom dancing brother spied on the other brothers because that's, the whole thing was
this is
not great.
It's a total mess because if you want to be silly, like I the show has done an excellent job prior with Fraser and Niles with physical comedy and them, silly misunderstandings and moving around and trying to hide and that kind of stuff. The show has done things like that prior to this really well. But when you introduce, let's make Daphne address, hey, I have personal trauma because my brother spied on me, and then let's exploit that trauma for a quote-unquote silly comedy. It doesn't work. Like, there's nothing on earth. I looked at the reviews of this, and they are incredibly disparate. Like, some people think this episode's hilarious. And then other people like us go, this is miserable. What is going on? And I don't understand how you can see this and not see the problems of tone and you can't have the trauma part. Like, if Daphne is doing something like, okay, Fraser, the second time is trapped in her room. If Daphne is not changing and then showering, if she's doing other things that are maybe embarrassing, but not revealing, then mm-hmm. I think you could do it. I think you could make it work. Like, if she's, like, trimming her toenails or doing, like, something gross or what, like, it doesn't matter. Just,
yeah.
It could be like, oh, I'm, like, make Fraser, like, oh, I'm, I didn't want to, like, you could maybe push it and make her, because she's on the same level and don't have anecdotes about her brothers peeping on her. Don't include that at all. That's the how did that get through? How did they get past the first draft? Like, did no one see that and go like, we shouldn't include that? That's gonna ruin a lot of the fun here. We should not. You could just say I didn't get any time alone because I never had my own room. Like, you can make it easy as that.
Increasingly, like, it's like they're trying to paint a picture of her childhood in England as like this Dickensian hellscape. Like, in the other episode where the argument was about, it was the one where Fraser's stuff gets stolen, right? And, you know, he was talking about how he tries to see the best in people, and she's like, oh, you know, and she tells the story about how, yeah, she used to, you know, walk through the city, like, with her eyes down and not, you know, talking to anyone. And then she decides to change that and look up and see the sights. And one of those sights is a man who clearly passes her a note asking for oral sex. And, like, and that's the joke. That's the joke, is that he spelled fellatio wrong. And it's like, you know, I mean, you live in a city, stuff happens, catcalls happen, people are gross and creepy, whatever. But, like, I just was like, oh my gosh. Like, the one time I try to be positive and, like, you know, look up and be happy. And then this happened. And then she just kind of wanders away with her laundry basket or whatever. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Don't make that a part. Those anecdotes make it. I mean, I guess that anecdote in particular is very revealing to the the commonplace abuse that women receive, especially Daphne, apparently, in her life in England. But I don't know, Daphne is, it feels like, you know, Daphne has just been like, you know, she's the weird psychic lady for a while. And now it's getting to the, like, she's it becoming more real, like a closer to like a actual person. And it's, they're not, they're making her just like a victim. Like, she's a plot device in this. She's not a, she's barely a character. And I think that's my largest problem with it, is that she's just a girl so that Fraser and Niles can be dumb. Like, and it is emblematic of all these episodes, like a lot of what we've watched in these episodes, is like, it's just people are, it's just a lot of plot devices and lazy writing and stupid people being stupid for no reason other than the story says so.
Well, and the conclusion, you know, like you said, it doesn't help. Like, if it was, I mean, if this was and it didn't have to be like a very special episode, but, you know, at least end it with like a real discussion instead of a third Marx Brothers movie happening, like, or attempt at that kind of humor. And then, of course, the end result is that he buys her a car.
How much money does Fraser have?
I don't know. I mean,
I assume he gets paid well.
They weren't at the Mercedes dealership. That was made clear. Although she was sitting in a convertible, so you know.
I mean,
I don't know.
He's that committed. One, again, it's a joke, and it's not. We don't see any resolution of why, like, of Daphne getting explained away why all this stuff is happening and why you're in my room and why you're tearing it apart. And it's just, hey, we can buy off anyone. We just give them a car. You're like, well, some things, Daphne strikes me as the type of person that would just say, no, thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And at this point, Fraser, I guess it speaks to something about Fraser and how much he likes Daphne around, in that he is willing to buy a car for her.
And I mean, maybe in some kind of weird way, it speaks to how their relationship really is not more than employer-employee, because at the end of the day, she is choosing to stay. But it just feels strange. Like, it takes a relationship that's already kind of like, what's going on from the outset, and it makes it weird. So.
Oh, so I. Anything you'd like to add?
I think I've said enough.
Okay.
About this one.
Yeah, it's not. Our last episode is The Club.
Ah, The Club.
This episode with Gary Sinise as the caller. In the very beginning. At least this one isn't like offensive.
True.
It doesn't have that. It's, I think I like Fraser Niles rivalry episodes in general.
Yes.
I think this episode's missing something.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's interesting because it is a sibling rivalry episode, which is always fun, and it kind of turns on a dime, because at first there was no reason to be rivals. There were two spots available in the club of the title, mm-hmm. which, I mean, what? I mean, I know that stuff still exists. It just feels so okay. I mean, it's very much of the world of the Crane boys. Like, I don't have any trouble believing that club exists in Seattle, and that they've always wanted to be, or at least Niles has always wanted to be a member or whatever.
Right.
But it's, I don't know. It's like, but why though?
It's very surface level.
Yeah.
And I don't expect, again, I do not expect, like, I don't expect like examinations or social critiques of how we handle sex workers and in a society. I don't expect that from Fraser. And I don't expect like deep examinations of class and privilege from Fraser necessarily either, not deep, but I do expect glances at it. I expect some, like, some jokes, like, and some jokes that lead to kind of a, that hint at a some depth, that hint at some nuance there about how, what this club is, what it is not. I think largely we don't really know. The club isn't anything. It's just a thing. It might as well be like a book that there's one copy of and they both want a copy of it. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, I want to have this thing and the other one can't. And
exactly.
We don't know what the club really is other than, hey, it's rich people place. And it's people like them who are all terrible, apparently. Like, everyone there seems to be bad in some way.
Pretty much.
Like, the first conversation they have there is how, yeah, a guy got kicked out and then he got brought back in because he got acquitted of corruption charges. And they say, oh, he was innocent. No, but he got acquitted. And you're like, oh, it's that type. It's
we're rich.
It's that type of crowd. Yeah. Like, haha. Maybe it's the fact that we're in such a, like, place in 2019 where, like, oligarchy is awful. And we are seeing it as, hey, these two main characters that we like, they want to be in that club with these guys. And you're like, ugh, gross. And it's not, it never becomes, oh, we don't want to be a member of this club. They want to be members of the club from the very beginning until the very end. The distinction is they both would rather have the other in the club. Like Frasier, the choice Frasier makes is, he goes, I would like to give my spot up, and Niles doesn't want him to. And then we find that the club actually made the confusion between the two. They think Niles is the guy who's on the radio when actually Frasier is. And it's, but I feel like the decision should be that they see what this club actually is inside and they go, I don't want to be a part of this. But it never becomes that.
No.
Ever. And
because at the end of the day, they still want to be, they both still want that status. That's like their great flaw in both of their characters is just this tremendous desire for status, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe it's...
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I don't know if it's because, you know, they've both, like, grown up the way they've grown up and have the tastes that they have and have, like, you know, a chip on their shoulder because they, you know, I mean, clearly came from a relatively, you know, middle class childhood. It's not like they were rich or anything until they kind of made their own way.
Well,
and that club screams.
Till Niles married Maris.
Yes.
What did they?
That again brings the question of how much money does Frasier make? Because they're both psychiatrists. Like,
that's true. And Frasier doesn't have. I mean, he's on a radio, so I assume they get paid better than just a regular psychiatrist, but I don't really know.
Well, and they're always, I mean, like, you know, he talks about like his Armani suit and this and that, but mm-hmm. I mean, clearly Niles, you know, that their house is just bonkers. Niles and Maris's house.
Yeah. I assume Niles, there is no limit to the amount of money he could spend on anything.
Yeah.
But Frasier, I would assume Frasier would have limits to this, upper limits of, hey, I can't on a whim go buy a Mercedes or BMW. However, he does go out on a whim and buy a car for Daphne. So I don't know, really. I think that's the way, because this episode tries to, and I think, I don't know if it is just a product of maybe in 1995, we thought it was just like, hey, it's a snooty club. And it wasn't in 2019. You're like, oh, that is everything that's wrong with society. It's right. It's all there. And maybe that is the distinction. But it feels like I would reframe the episode as maybe they both. Maybe Marty. I would include Marty and the parts I really like about this episode. Like, I think there's some good jokes there. I really like Daphne coming along and pretending to be Frasier's girlfriend. So mm-hmm. I thought that was very funny. And I, you know, I wish the characters that represent, you know, the blue collar, the middle class, like Marty and Daphne and Roz, got some time, and maybe they could, Marty in particular, could go, like, what are these, like, to actually, like, say something about, like, why do you want to be a part of this club? Look at these guys. They're all scum. And then they both, that is the thing that Niles and Frasier realize, and then they go, oh, we don't want to be a part of your club, or what, or they are challenged. Like, it's really strange to me that, you're right, like, the episode twists when they realize, oh, there's only one spot. And, okay, so they're competing. And it, the competition feels a little lazy, honestly. It's just them, like, insulting each other in front of the other members, not, hey, here, we're going to have a, like, have some fun with it, like, have a contest, and the two of them have to do something, and in the process of doing the thing, they realize, we're becoming monsters. we shouldn't join at all. Like, that's what I want. And it's, no, it's just like, oh, no, they just are, they like each, and they're like, it's not bad that Niles and Frasier are so fond of each other that they're willing to give up their one spot that they so obviously cherish, but it doesn't have any, there's nothing else behind it. There's the only thing there is, oh, they misunderstand, and Frasier isn't Niles, and Niles, but now neither of them get to join. And you're like, all right, good. This club's terrible.
Exactly. I don't know. They ultimately still wanted to be in the club.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I think, again, something that comes up over and over and over again is just how desperate they are to be part of this elite that is garbage. But, you know, harsh lessons being learned and whatnot.
I wish that they would, I don't feel like I know why they want to join. Like, other than, yes, they want to, it's exclusive. But, like, Frasier.
That chair with its baby's bottom soft leather.
I think that's
it. That seems to be the draw.
I know, like, all we get, we see the really nice leather chairs and the extraordinarily expensive wine and all, and, like, and butlers. We see all that, but those are all very shallow reasons to join a club. They're not like, it's not in those, and if they had even a one spot where Frasier monologued about, or Niles for that matter, either of them, kind of just gave us a little bit of, when I was a child, or when I was a young man, I looked at the club and I saw how I saw that people like me were, it's a place I could be accepted for liking the finer things and not being made fun of, like by Marty, or, you know, which I assume they did. We watched the bullying episode, and I feel like that's a way you could bring them into, like, it seems, yeah, it's exclusive, but it's also a place for people who like opera and like fine wines and, like, can appreciate that things and not get insulted and made fun of. And you can try and make it about that versus class and money, which is ultimately what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is that anyway.
Yeah, I know. In a way. Like, I know it is. But you're not wrong. It's just, you could kind of shift it to make it make sense. And it's just like, I hate this club. I kind of dislike Niles and Frasier because they want to join the club. And we don't even talk about how the club is full of scum and terrible rich people who don't care and are mean. They're mean to them, like, directly. Like, it's just, and it's all played for jokes. And the jokes aren't that good. I don't know. I like Daphne in it a lot.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, really.
Daphne, who's just there for the appetizers. And girl,
100%.
I feel ya.
100%. Give me some apps. I don't. It's, and the, more of the, more of Daphne saying dirty things because she doesn't know that people call their feet dogs,
or that knocked up
means knocked, yeah,
not knocked up, something different.
I refuse. She's lived in the U.S. long enough. I refuse. It's another, like, it's very much like, oh, we get Daphne to say dirty things, isn't that funny?
Yeah,
like, no, not really anymore.
It's like, okay, Balky. Yeah, this was not a stellar run.
No, it really wasn't. It is by far the worst six episode batch we've watched so far. It's not even close, honestly. Like, I think we've had one other one that was kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. This is below average. This is below the Mendoza line, as I would say. You don't need to watch most. I would say, I would actually none of them. I don't think any of them are need to watches.
I would agree with that. I think this is a segment to skip, and hopefully the next. Since we're heading into the end of the season, hopefully the next set will be a little bit more, will be better.
Less terrible? Less offensive, at least? I can deal with, I understand, I can deal with bad sitcoms. Like, I can deal with episodes that are just kind of like tell but don't show kind of episodes where like, yeah, these things happen because we need the plot to happen quickly and hang jokes on things. I can't deal with slut shaming and Daphne being a plot device and like the ridiculous leaps of logic you have to make. I can also not deal with Frasier literally thinking a monkey committed murder. It's just, it's so colossally stupid. I can't function. It's a funny that like, I can't imagine the writer's room where they go, yeah, okay. And then Frasier starts talking about how he formulated the murder, and he thinks it's a monkey. In front of, like, a dozen police officers, he's just like, yeah, a monkey did it. I'm like, what? Are you? Okay. Oh, oof, oofa doofa. These episodes are oofa doofas.
Well, we're getting into the home stretch. We're getting into the home stretch of season two. I seem to remember season three having some real high points, so I think we just have to punch through and see how they wrap this one up.
Long episodes, long, you know, sitcom seasons are long, and I, you know, you're not going to get 100% winners. There's, with so many episodes made, there's going to be some losers in there. Watching The Simpsons, well aware of that. And now Frasier's no... Frasier's now, I've hit... It took longer for The Simpsons, at least, to hit this kind of stretch. Whew. I don't know. I'm hopeful. It's not. I said it earlier. I thought you were better, Frasier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's disappointing. Mm-hmm. The show is disappointing. He's disappointing.
Yeah, it happens. It's okay. We can move on. We can continue. It won't. It won't be the. It's not the end. It's not the end. Megan, is there anything you'd like to plug before we go?
Nope. Support your local library.
You can get... Hey, guys, I am not one for physical media. However, with a library card, you can have access to many free digital services. I don't know if you knew that, but you can. All the things that you pay money for Amazon, you can get them from free from your local library.
It's true. Let's consider this the opposite of an Audible.com ad for this episode. You can go to your library, and there's plenty of audiobooks for free there. No code required. There's also digital comic books and ebooks and anything you can think of.
Yeah. And free, your tax dollars let you have that. So go check that out.
You should. You really should.
Megan, thank you for joining me.
Thanks.
Thanks again to Megan for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Robbie Dorman, and the show's website is serialfanaticist.com. You can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/serialfanaticist. If you like the show, please give it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, tell your friends, subscribe. All those things help out. Help the show find new listeners. And I thank you for your time and effort. Until next time, thanks for being a fan.